let's expand a little more of our discussion. First of all, was it Akiva yesterday?
Yeah.
What? No, that Akiva. But you mentioned Mira the Rajma, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, both Akivas. So, yeah. So I meant to speak about that also. But, yeah, before we get to that. So, again, we're trying to put our finger a little bit better on what a Kinyan Dvarim Bialma, you know, is and what is required for a Kinyan. And I think that, you know, we have, you know, encountered, I guess, different approaches. Again, one extreme to say that, you know, Kinyanim is something very specific. It focuses, you know, usually on, you know, a davar hanikne, and on a havaras bailus, or change in the legal status of either a person or a chefetz, in a very concrete, you know, evident and obvious way, and usually relates to something that itself is concrete. And, you know, that would limit in a very significant way, you know, where kinyanim, you know, would apply. The idea of, you know, kinyanim, you know, on the level of simple das, assuming that das doesn't transfer, or at least, you know, in terms of a promise or an intention, maybe even a commitment, all these things would be very problematic if you take that view, and that is definitely the formulation of numerous Rishonim. How will you then navigate, you know, the cases that seem to be kinyan dvarim? So you're going to have to find some sort of a, you know, actual kinyan aspect, more traditional kinyan, let's say, component, you know, in those cases. A very, you know, convenient outlet for that might be the concept of shibudim, especially, we'll discuss this soon, much more easily if we're talking about shibud nechasim, which is kind of a quasi, you know, kinyan, or might be a kind of quasi kinyan. It works either midin arev or midin some sort of kinyan. More questionable, you know, if we're talking about what we sometimes call shibud aguf. We'll discuss that, you know, in a minute. The other extreme is basically to say that kinyanim are much more expansively, you know, applicable. And they can be, you know, gomer das or mechazek, you know, a commitment, or even a promise, and they will have the effect, you know, that in a yachol lachzerbo, that you can't back out of that said commitment. The problem is that, you know, still there are certain, let's say, we'll call it more technical requirements for a kinyan. Namely, the kinyan has to be chal on something, you know, concrete, or we have to make sure that it isn't, you know, a guzma bialma, something like an asmachta. Maybe it has to be, you know, more katsuv, you know, not something just kind of general and amorphous, like, you know, a broad, you know, intent, you know, but something very specific, whatever the technical requirement of kinyan is. But then, of course, the, you know, cases in Shas that seem, you know, they look to us, at least superficially, like kinyan dvarim, and yet they seem to work, you know, that is all going to be much less problematic. You know, we're going to have to try to figure out more why, let's say, chalukas hashutfis, you know, is, you know, especially when there aren't, you know, even after the commitment, there's nothing, you know, concrete about it. Like, there's not yet chalukah, you know, beruchos, you know, why is that, you know, the paradigm of kinyan advar? But we can understand that it isn't katsuv, you know, it isn't, you know, a very advanced level, and so on and so forth. And then kind of in between those two is the idea that, you know, there are very subtle, you know, instances of kinyan, you know, especially situations where, you know, even if there isn't a chefta and a bailus change, etc., but where there's some sort of a legal, you know, change in status, either the person changes or his relationship to what he's promising about changes, or maybe even to make the subtle, transformation between, as we said before, an intention or even a promise and a legal, you know, legally binding, you know, commitment. Maybe legally binding commitments are subject to kinyanim, but you have to kind of define, you know, what that is. If you just, you know, kind of, you know, broadly commit to do an action, you know, all things being equal, that remains an intention or a promise. If you, you know, commit to a certain course that's not just a physical action, but kind of like a change in or a commitment in relationship, you know, then maybe that is nitan l'kinyan. And of course, hovering around this whole question are two other questions. One very specific about, you know, particular modes of kinyanim. You know, even if, you know, it's conceivable to have kinyanim, you know, when we're not talking about classical or obvious habaras achefetz, or, you know, what we consider to be obvious kinyan situations, you know, is that true only for kinyan sudar or something like that? Maybe shtar, maybe kinyan sudar, because it lends itself, you know, to that kind of transaction, a kind of a more of a gemiras das, albeit one that you're elevating to a legal status, etc. That's one, you know, hovering question. And then, of course, the bigger hovering question is about the role of, you know, or the interrelationship, we'll call it, between kinyanim and gemiras das, you know, more generally. Okay, and that also goes, that's kind of a complicated question. You know, can gemiras das ever turn into a kinyan in its own right? Things like kainen advar manikin b'amira, or case situations where it's not a smacht and you have bahi ana, or ischaivuyos like that, you know, like the Rambam. And in the other direction, to what extent are kinyan in the cells nothing more than like the concretization or the objectification of gemiras das? Okay, so that these are all kind of questions. We're not going to spend so much more time on this, obviously, but these are the questions that we've been dealing with. Okay, so we began by talking about chalukas hashutfus, and, you know, the situation of, you know, being mevarer beruchos, and we talked about Rabbeinu Gershom and the Rambam and the Torah's understanding of the Rambam, and the Beis Yosef, and the Prisha, etc. And then we also saw, you know, some formulations, right? We saw the, I don't think we saw all of them, but we saw the Rif, and we saw the Rimigash. We don't have to go into detail. We saw them already, the Tshuvas HaRambam. I think I left off the list of the Rabban. What is the Rabban's formulation in the beginning of Ezra? You saw it? In the beginning of Bav Basra for what is Kinyan Devarim Bialma? You have it? Yeah, he makes a very, again, also, one of the, again, it's interesting to see these formulations because, you know, obviously we're interested in how the Rishonim articulated, you know, this requirement and these differences. Of course, the tricky part is that if you just have to answer a question, you know, if you just have to explain, you know, why Chalukas HaShutfus is Dvarim, or, you know, why, you know, Masa Shomachinim Yos Kishol is not, or the difference between them, then you don't, you know, there are different ways to say that. You don't always get the formulation that is, like, you know, going to the core definition. You know, sometimes you're getting like an emphasis on characteristics, you know, that themselves reflect, you know, a bigger distinction. So that's a little bit the problem. It's not like the Rishonim said, you know, with a drum beat, you know, we're about to, you know, formulate, you know, what Kinyan Dvarim is or isn't. But either way, it's very interesting and important. It's certainly a necessary step, a first step, you know, to trying to understand, you know, what's going on. So it, what we should be looking for, you know, even as we're aware that there are limitations and, you know, and how much you can get out of these formulations, but in terms of the bigger picture that we just, you know, portrayed, which is, you know, is kinyan dvarim, about, you know, the nature of kinyan and what is nitan le kinyan, what's nitfas in a kinyan, or is it more like, you know, technically, like, you know, you have to do a maisa kinyan, it has to be chal on something, it has to be katsuv, like, what kind of things are they emphasizing? And in that, there is indeed range. So the Ravan, again, we talked about the Rimi Ganash and the Rambam and the Rif. The Rabban is also an important piece, and as Ezra said, his emphasis is, you know, oh, if you can't, you know, mishicha it, right, then probably it's, you know, kin and dvar. That's a little bit surprising, right? That sounds more, this is a great example of what I just was talking about. You could understand that in a very, you have the language, Ezra? Kinyan b'mokom mishichas chefetz. So again, I would not, you know, have focused on that part of it, you know, and especially, you know, since we're already sensitive to the fact, Yitzi, that what? I mean, there that isn't what I would have zeroed in on in to begin with, number one, and especially because we are already aware that what? That maybe different kinyanim, you know, work in different ways. You know, just because you can't meshicha something, does that really mean you can't kinyan sudar it? Like, if you look at all kinyanim as interchangeable, like they work in the same way, then that's very reasonable. For some reason, or maybe for very understandable reasons, right? There are all sorts of kinyanim. There's mishicha, and there's hagba'ah, and there's nesira, and there's, you know, talking about metaltal, let's say, ma'os, and there's agav, and so on and so forth. And in karka, you know, there are kinyanim, you know, kesef, and shtar, and chazaka, you know, and so on. And kinyan suda happens to work, you know, bain b'karka, bain b'metaltalin. So, you know, whatever the reasons are, that some things work for some, they could be very practical reasons, frankly, you know. But in the end of the day, they all work in the same way, right? Either as a concretization or an expression of das, or no, more than that, that actually is the way, you know, that we, of course, with das, it's what transfers. It's the legal mechanism. It's the legal mode, right, of changing ownership or giving a new status to something. So then you say, oh, whatever doesn't work for Meshicha, doesn't work for Hagbal. Whatever doesn't work for Mesira, you know, doesn't work for, you know, for Chazaka. Whatever doesn't work for Meshicha doesn't work for Kinyan Suda. Right? When you make a statement like that, right, on the surface it sounds like you're saying all Kinyanim are working, because if they don't work in the same way, maybe that isn't true. Right? On the other hand, is that really what he means here? You know, again, why, if the reason that something doesn't work for Meshicha, you know, is not, you know, purely technical, but it, you know, reflects something more, you know, more basic, like, you know, you can't do Meshicha on Dvarim because Dvarim, not because of the Maisa, again, this is what I'm trying to say, the Maisa's not Chal on it, so good, that's because Meshicha is a physical kind of a kinyan, you drag, you know, the animal, or you drag the object. So of course you can't do that to Dvarim. But Kinyan Sudar doesn't require that you, you know, physically touch anything, you know, that you're being kona. So, you know, in Adoma Bechlal. Right, that would have been my first reaction. Maybe does, so that, you know, maybe we should reassess. Maybe Kinyan Sudar, you know, still has to, you know, fit in. Or is he saying that the reason that Mashiach doesn't work on Dvarim is not just because physically, it's because it's another way of saying Dvarim are not nitan, you know, they're not kinyanable, they're not a chetza shel kinyan, they're not nitan to a chetza shel kinyan. So, you know, if that's the problem, you know, then who adin? I just wouldn't have picked Mashiach, is what I'm trying to say. I wouldn't have picked a physical kinyan, you know, to illustrate that. So by doing that, the Rabban, yeah, we can just keep going. Then he talks about Dabra Nikna, right? Keep going. What does he say? So what's he saying?
He's saying if our Jackson therefore says he did a Kenyan.
And how does Kenyan work? Yeah, what is that? Also strange, right? Is that the way the Kenyan normally works?
Not.
What?
I guess not.
Okay, so we'll get back to that. Either way, the Ravan in trying to explain Kenyan Dvarim Bialma here is certainly minimizing the difference between Kenyan Sudar and other Kenyan. Yeah. Could be for metaltalin.
Right. So everything else is really just trying to approximate it or trying to.
Right, but it still ignores the fact that Kinyan Sudar is a universal Kinyan, right? And especially, you know, the point I tried to make the other day in the name of some of the also the, you know, discussion of the Rishonim and the Achronim, which is how come Kinyan Sudar isn't typically listed, you know, in the Mishnayos, you know, that delineate, you know, what works for metaltalin and what works for karka and so on and so forth. You know, so again, there are all sorts of answers to those questions. You know, the Ruah and others give different answers, but the assumption of the question is like it should be, right? And maybe the answer, like the most fundamental answer you could give, is because it's a totally different kind of kinyan. It differs from both of those lists, which focus on Maisa kinyan more. Moreover, it's not just that kinyan sudar happens to work in metallic, happens to work in karka, right? The reason it works in karka and metallic, despite, you know, the important differences legally of these categories, is because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work that way. If it was working as a Maisa Kinyan on the Cheftza HaNikna, like, you know, being, you know, targeting it or, you know, being relating to it in that sense, then, you know, maybe it would be counted on the lists, or maybe, bigger idea, maybe it wouldn't be on both lists or wouldn't work in both things because maybe, you know, the Torah intentionally kind of separated out. Again, these are different massive topics, as you know, but these are middle Prakim of Bava Basra, you know, topics, as well as Kiddushin topics. So maybe the Torah, you know, doesn't approve of an overlap, you know, per se. Karka l'chud and thalta l'chud, not just for technical reasons. You know, the very fact that Kinyan Sudar is the universal Kinyan is the reason also why it's not on the lists. That's because it just works in a totally different way. It works, you know, irrespective of those differences, because it doesn't work as it's not a Kinyan Karka and it's not a Kinyan Metalpolin. It's a Kinyan Gemiras Das. Right. I'm just saying, then, and this goes to what we, you know, the other point. You know, if anything is going to work, you know, for Dvarim, you know, probably it's going to be Sudar, maybe also Shtar. Why? For two reasons. Number one, because physically, you know, it has less of a footprint or no footprint. Right? Again, you can't be Moshech the Dvarim, and you can't be Magbia the Dvarim, and you can't, you know, do a Lechazeku Kni on the Dvarim. You know, but Kinyan Sudar is, you know, we'll get to it, or the Kelu Shokono, Kelu Shomakna. But either way, it doesn't require. It's not the only one like that. There are other things that don't require a physical, you know, footprint either. Things like Agav, What about kesef, mamon? And by the way, I thought somebody was going to say, what do you mean there's no overlap between karka, you know, and the vav? Right? Kesef. Right? Somebody wasn't going to say that? We weren't going to say it because we weren't thinking of it, or because you know the answer already? Asher? What? Yeah, that's why it's, we say that, you know, that karka is nikta b'kasef, you know, and that's the pasuk that they quote, you know, as well, has the word kasef in it. But in metaltalin, right, it's not a kinyan kasef. If it works, it's a kinyan mamon. Right, the debate about metaltalin is whether mamon is kona. So kesef is a formal kinyan, right? And that's why it's always enough just to have shavapruta. It's learned out from hektish, right? Mamon has a connotation of being about value. Might be a din of tchilas piron. The Ramban points out one day at least, you know, that the makar is a svara. You know, or if it isn't, it's a very Ocha b'kesef, you know, Shmereini, you know, that's a makar that it works, not, you know, not a source why it works, you know, like kesef. Anyways, just to highlight the point a little further. Again, that has a lot to do with, hopefully we'll get to some Chesek Sabbatim issues in the second half, and, you know, that's like the very fact that, you know, the mode of kinyanim are different in karka metaltalin. The way that you establish, you know, a chazaka is different, you know, in karka metaltalin. You know, very understandable. Metaltalin is just a more, you know, concrete, physical, controllable, you know, substance. You can have sovereignty. You can really own metaltalin. You can, you know, keep it where you want. You can hide it. You can destroy it. You know, karka liolam amadas, it's more about a relationship, you know, with the karka, right? You don't really ever own the karka, you know, karka in exeles, not just for the physical fact. I'm saying the physical fact is... Anyways, I'm getting a little far afield. But the bigger idea, all this inspired by the Ravan, but it's a very interesting line, you know, to suggest, you know, that Meshicha... Now, that doesn't preclude what Asher said, by the way. Like, why did they pick Meshicha more than, right? More than one of the others. Although the relationship in Talmud between Meshicha and Agba is a particularly interesting issue. And I think it is a question in general about those interrelationships. But in the end of the day, still, you know, it sounds like what we're saying is Kinyan Devarim is a problem because Our perspective on kinyanim is very concrete. You do a maisa kinyan on a cheftza, and that's what a kinyan is. You know, this idea that, you know, you can concretize your commitment, you know, through a kinyan if the circumstances objectively, you know, fit, or that, you know, there are other kind of subtle kind of in between stages. That's not so much implied by the Ravan. The again, Rashi here Alatar speaks about the requirement of a davar hanikna. Again, it's hard to know those in some of these formulations because they're right. Kinyan davar Rashi says ve'ein chalipin konim ela davar hanikna. So that might have been good, like a kinyanable thing, right? Something nitan to chalos kinyan. But then he says, O mecher, O matana, O shibud karkos, shakinyan chal olav, O metaltalin. Like, everybody's struggling. The reason they're all struggling is because, you know, there is evidence that kinyan can be related to gemiras das. And there are these other gemaras around, you know, where it's less than a classic concrete kinyan, and no one's screaming, you know, kinyan dvarim. On the other hand, the words themselves, kinyan devarim, you know, make it seem like anything that isn't a concrete chaf. So again, davar nikna alone, I would have thought, means something, you know, kinyana bol. But that, by saying omechar matano shibud or metalklin, meaning a chafza, not its legal fair aspect, but its concrete chafza aspect, maybe. Yeah, the Rajba, in that same piece, I'll get back to the point in a minute. I mean, there are a lot of Rishonim have formulations. You know, just we read the Tshuvas HaRosh, I believe, yesterday's formulation, right? The Rajba here on Dab Gimel Amin Aleph, which we'll get to in a second, that's Akiva's Ha'ara. Here. Shahakaluka eno davar sheyesh lo guf. Right? He's operating with Rashi. Pirush Rashi. The kinyan in achal ela o bekarka o bemetaltalin inami b'shibud. He doesn't quote the first part, davar anikne. Avo bedvarim bi'alma lo chayil. Right? V'chikanu lachlo kinyan dvarimu. He adds, shachaluka ena davar sheyesh lo guf. Something physical? I would have said, it's not a chalos, it's not, you're just talking, you haven't done anything. Right, the Rama, here, I think I did tell you, look at that. Not sure why they put this in the order that they put it. De lo mahani kinin lahecha de konumine agufe de mamona, bain la knuye mamona, bain la achyuve mamona. That's very different. That's not dabar nikna, a gufa dabar she efshal hachlif. This is already more of a conceptual point. I mean, this is something mamoni, or so, again, legal fair. Echad konumine agufa de mamona, bein la knuye mamona, bein la achiyuve mamona. Aval davar hagoreim le mamon, it's an interesting phrase, right? Kigon de konumine le miflag, o le meved hakna, a kinyan to bikone, kinyan dvarim bi almahu. Then later on he talks about a kinyan le kinyan. Okay. So, again, in the Rishonim, and there are many, many more, we really find, you know, formulations that fit kind of all, you know, three, you know, perspectives. Ones that focus very specifically on the need for technical, concrete, maisa kinyan, you know, or chalos kinyan, technical things, like nevura, talmud rabbeinu gershom, etc. Things that talk about, you know, the exact opposite. You know, what's kinyanable as opposed to a haftaka or a pu'ula, you know, a commitment to do an action, not to adopt some sort of commitment per se, and in between. Okay. Anyways, with regard to let's talk now about the cases, just to concretize a little more. So I think Akiva was trying to tell me the other day, which was on my list, but I didn't remember to mention it, that when we started off, we said one of the other cases, you know, that, you know, could have been kinyan dvarim, or whether there's discussion of are they kinyan dvarim. So the first one was, according to the Mandamar, that mechitza means guda. You know, the implication is, oh, that the Gemara is only troubled if mechitza, you know, if it means, you know, plukta, but not if it means guda. Then that's what Tosa says, that if the commitment is not to break up the partnership, but to build the wall, right, then that's not kinyan dvarim. The Lomasik Adat, one second. Here. Where's that line? Yeah. Dikal Mehmet, the Kondu Vishibdu Nichseim Lebinyan Akosel. Elamando Mar Pluk the Lomahani Kinin Dvarim Hu. The Lomasik Adaiti Shakondu Barukos. So Lomando Mar Mechitza Guda. It's not a problem. The Kondu Vishibdu Nichseim Lebinyan Akosel. Okay, that's a great example. Right. But the Rajba, you have it there? He quotes this view, and then he argues with it, yeah. In the name of the Raibin, I think, right? The argument. Go ahead.
So I was reading it as they didn't actually make the pinion on the because they could have.
Again, have you data? Which part are you reading?
To listen,
to
the middle.
Oh, the actual Yeshu Farshim Lishim Bechitza Guda Lava Kashale. Kivin de Efshar Bekinyan. How are you interpreting that?
They didn't actually make a kinyan on the Nechasim, like Tosos said. But.
Lesson. I like that. I'm not sure if it's true.
Tosos is looking for.
It's Nitan Lekinyan. And therefore, you can even get away with less. As opposed to, but the other reading, of course, would be that, you know, since there's an outlet, so that's what they mean. Right. Hard to know. I guess it really matters a lot in how you understand, you know, the other side. Right? And he disagrees. I mean, what Akiva's saying is that maybe the formulation of Tosus Shita by the Rajba is not that, when I commit to aguda, you know, then what I'm really doing is being mishabed, you know, the money for the wall. It's that since I could do that, right, so then the commitment to build the wall, since, you know, is itself, right, a davar shenitan lekinyan. It's more than dvar. There's an outlet to make this real. And therefore, it's real, you know, even as a commitment. Yeah.
Shouldn't the Rashba later choose which interpretation? Should he say,
the heavy adeya is what we're up to now. We're going to get that in the side. That's the other shita, though.
Oh, okay. I thought he was interpreting what he said before.
No. I don't think so. Go read it, though. Go ahead. I thought that's what he's saying in the name of the Raibid, not that way. The heavy adeya. Low. Meaning, it won't work. He said, I thought there were three, you know, this is like I thought Tosus is like the in-between Shita. In other words, I thought the Rajba was saying, if, in the name of the Raibid, Kach Pirush HaRaibid, that if you explicitly are Mischayiv, Dmei Machtzis HaKosel, right, then that, of course, is not a problem of Kinyan Dvarim. But if you're not, then being mischayev to the kosel to build the wall does not automatically, you know, create a shibud. Never mind the fact that you could create the shibud would make the commitment into something. You understand what I'm saying? So I think there are three levels in the Rajba, assuming that Akiva is correct. One is that Efshar B'Kinyan, you know, determines that this commitment is a Kinyani entity, right? The other is that when you commit to build a wall, Alpidin, if you do that B'Kinyan, Alpidin, that translates into, you know, a Shibud Mamon, even if that isn't what you were explicitly thinking. And number three is you know, that both of those things are not true, and that unless you're explicit about building, about being mishabed to build the wall, mishabed money for the wall, everything is kinyan devar. Yeah.
Oh.
Let me see. Meaning, Mistama Hayodesh Economy Yadom Kivin to Esher Bekinyan. I'm not following. Yesh v'farshim delishon b'chutz aguda, they wouldn't have asked. And you don't think he's explaining because it isn't dvarim, because he could easily turn it into a kinyan.
Like saying mistama hayodeya about misader hagemara.
Oh.
That the case was
minat mistama hayodeya. Shekana miyadon. I mean, you think he's saying exactly what Tosa is saying.
Right.
Just that he's also explaining why the Man D'Amar in the Gemara like knew that. Okay, could be. I'm not sure. Either way, there's certainly the second day in the Rajba, in the name of the Raivin, is disagreeing with Tosa. That's for sure. Okay, and as I think I mentioned the other day, we might compare this a little bit to the Rush, you know, although I think it could be Mechalek. Like, to what extent does, you know, commitment to build a wall or you know, commitment to break up a partnership, you know, automatically translated to the most concrete, you know, kind of chiyuv mamon, you know, oh, it's by bank account, you know, or you know, the task itself, the commitment itself is something. Okay, either way, so that's one. The second thing, the second example that we were discussing, let's just discuss them quickly because we're getting late, is the question of Masa Shomachinam. Leos Kishoel, and that we discussed already, pretty much. Just to sum up, that's how Tosas here interprets also, that Shemeshabedis Atzmo Shemienas Sheyishalim. Right? So again, that is concrete. That's a Shibud. Now, is it a Shibud Nechasim or a Shibud Aguf? He's like Shemeshabedis Atzmo Shemienas Sheyishalim. Doesn't matter whether or not you have property, you know, at that time, you know, or not. Right, that's what Tosis and Ksubis, we'll get back to that in a minute, and the Russian Ksubis are also quoting from in terms of Shomer Chinam and Shoel. They're assuming that the, you know, the Stam doesn't discriminate whether or not you have, you know, available, you know, funds or karka at the time or not. So if that's assuming, like, if you read Tosas on Gimel and Aleph in light of Tosas and Ksubis, it doesn't really matter, because either way Tosas and Ksubis says explicitly, you have the line there, Aaron, go ahead, this one we read yesterday, then the diuk is very good, and that is Shem Mishabed Atzmo, Shem Yenos Yishalim, not Mishabed Nechasa. You have it there? That, just that, that line, we'll get to the rest of it a little later. Yeah. And he says there explicitly in Ksubis that that means even if you don't have any property. You have that part? Right, because that Tosas and Ksubis is asking, we'll get to this case in a minute, like how could somebody be Mosif in their Eschaibus and Ksuba if they don't have the funds? Like the Chasam is accepting, you know, a certain amount, yeah. And let's say he hasn't earned it yet. Right? Go ahead. That should be Kinyan Dvar Bialma.
Yeah.
v'araya. Isn't that the raya from Shabbat? Right, I'm saying, but he's quoting from Bava Metzia Tzadigal.
Yeah, right.
His raya is, it's not full proof raya, that the Gemara Bava Metzia doesn't say that a Shomachinam is Masna Lios Kishoel only if he has property right now.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's why Tosis here also uses the expression of Meshabed Atzmo instead of saying Meshabed Nechasa. But I think that that is really something that is not obvious at all. So we'll explain it in just a minute. But before we do that, I suggested an alternative. You know, in Shomachinam and Shoel. So I'm just going to, I was running in the end yesterday, so let me just elaborate just a little bit more. And that is, let's say you want to take, you know, again, if you want to turn every apparent Kinyan Dvarim into a concrete Kinyan, so, you know, this is kind of the way to do it. You know, he's Meshabed Atzmo, Benechasav, or he's Meshabed Atzmo Begufa. The only question is, what does it mean to be Meshabed Atzmo Begufo? Okay, that's a bit of a tricky issue. We'll get back to that in just a minute. Let's assume that you can do such a thing. But what I was trying to suggest the other day is that, there's an alternative. And that is that if you hold, there are two ways to understand Masa Shomachinam Lios Kishoel, right? One is, as a Chiv Achrayis, an extraneous obligation, you know, on the payment level, that's basically he remains a shomachinam lechol advarim in terms of his status, right? But what he's saying is, even though as a shomachinam I'm only chayev pshia, right? I'm keilu mischayev myself as a separate eschayvus, right? But de shibud, you know, to pay, you know, the simulation of what if I were a shoah, okay. However, it's very possible that really what's going on is that the Shomer Chinam, you know, again, the Torah has four Shomer. And this is partially the question, like, to what extent is that fixed? You know, and then any adjustment on that is like more of a technical, you know, Masna Masha Kosa B'Torah or his Chaybus. Right? Or are the four like the standard, the norm, right? But, you know, Lu Yitzuya, you want to, reconfigure, you know, Shomrim, you could do that. Not such a simple matter, but that seems to be a debate in the Rishonim there, Alatar, Andaf Tzadi Dalin, and I think there are very important echoes in that. I mean, if you think about it, the more you think that, you know, let's say Shoel's Chiyuv Achrayas and Onsim, you know, is a function of, you know, Kol Anoah Shalo in the sense of, Bailus, you know, he has Tashmishim, therefore he's a part owner, so the flood, the hurricane, the lightning strike, you know, they didn't just happen to the owner or to the cow, you know, they happened to him too because he's a part owner, right? So Nebuch, you know, when it was in his ownership or vis-a-vis things that happen, you know, under his rule, you know, that part is considered his ownership. So we're not punishing him. You know, we're just naturally applying, you know, the law of ownership. If I own something and something, some calamity strikes it, so I'm the one who suffers the loss. Right? In the end of the day, he has to give something back to the mafkid, you know, he's not being punished, he just, you know, it's his loss, because it was his, that aspect of it is under his watch or his ownership. So then it's harder to say that masna shomachinam lios kishoel, because the shomachinam doesn't have kinyanei tashmishim, otherwise he actually would be a shoel. right? He's a regular shomer chinam, meaning he's watching the object. If he'd start using the object, he'd be chayav mishum shaleach yad, right? So he's a regular shomer chinam. He's not even getting paid for it. He's not even a shomer sakha. So absent, there's no bailus. You know, how do you substitute for kol hanoa shelo? So probably it's you know, either impossible or very difficult, you know, to put those two ideas together. But, you know, luckily there's almost equal evidence that the reason that a shoel is chayv mishum onsin is a kind of a quid pro quo, not because he's the bailin, but because, you know, the kol hanoa shelo is, you know, is his, you know, he gets a you know, a higher premium. You know, and therefore he has to, you know, he has to pay out, you know, for sure insurance, you know, that that is an act of, you know, an act of the Rabbona Shalom, right? So kol hanoa shelo is a way of saying, you know, that there's a balance between, you know, achrayas, level of achrayas, and you know, the quid pro quo. But in that, if the Shomer Chinam wants to accept, you know, Merosh, you know, the achrayas level of a Shoel, you know, then maybe he can do that. Now, the Torah's default is that there is a correspondence. You know, if you're a Shomer Chinam, you have very little liability because you're not getting paid. You just can't be negligent. If you're a Shomer Sachar, you have more liability, right? Because you are being paid. And, you know, and therefore you're chai for gnei b'vaveda. You're not chai for onsin. And if you're a shoel, so, you know, your payment isn't just, you know, a check. It's the ability to use the chayfetz. So you're getting even a higher, you know, premium, and therefore you have a higher liability. So, but if Shomer Chinam wants to do that, he could do it. So he's Masa Shomer Chinam, Lios Keshoa. Right? And it's possible that there's discussion about what about Shavua? You know, is this only with regard to payment? Because it's an extraneous Eschaivos? Or is it about, you know, really turning himself into a Shoa? Absent, of course, you know, the Heter Tashmisha, because then he really would be a Shoa. So the more you think of it that way, so it's not targeting, not like setting aside the cash, you know, being makne, the shibudim, in case of achrayas, right? It's the gavra, and through kinyan sudar, reconfiguring, you know, his status, his real liability. But that's not kinyan dvarim, right? Even though it doesn't express itself on, you know, particular chefts, again, not nechasim for shibud, and maybe even not a shibud aguf that will turn into shibud nechasim, which is what Tosis is really speaking about in these two places, right? It's a whole different idea. It's that I'm not just promising, you know, that if something happens to the chefetz, I'll pay for it, right? And it isn't even just like a lost stronger like commitment. It's what I'm doing is I'm creating a different kind of model of shomer, right? I'm creating a high level, you know, achrayas, you know, without the correspondence, you know, of quid pro quo. I'm a different chalos shomer. I'm a shomer chinam shechayev b'achrayas, you know. To become that, I need a kinyan. But it is a davar shenitam a kinyan. If you have a certain understanding, it's kinyanable, meaning it's a different legal status and legal relationship. That could be a great example. So let's take another example. We've talked about this in the past also. So this sugya in Sanhedrin. Stephen, you saw it? Avdalit? Didn't get a chance yet? Yonatan saw it? What? Josh?
Who are the sons? Tuvia. Ezra? No one saw Chavetz. I definitely gave it, right? Wasn't on the list, or was? On the original list? I didn't mention it?
You mentioned it once, like on the side.
Oh, really? I thought I gave it on the original list. Okay, I apologize. My mistake. It's an important one, so I'll just talk about it very quickly. Sugin Sanhedrin Chav Dalet is, nobody learned Zeborah here? No? Sanhedrin people. Two of you look like a little bit. Yeah. No? Etani, no Sanhedrin? Okay. So, Yossi, no Sanhedrin?
It's up on the board, but it's about like in the general, it's in the context of being in the general sort of Kibbo Alai.
Yeah. It's the sugi of Kibbo Alai.
Yeah.
So the sugi of Kibbo Alai is Neman Alai Abba, Neman Alai, you know, Ima, Neman Alai Gimel Roe Bokar, Neman Alai Abba, Neman Alai Abicha, Neman Alai Gimel Roe Bokar, right? So what is that? Kibbo Alai. Right? I accept either a Karov or a Pasol or an Eid Echad, right? Either for Edim or for Dayanis. Right, for Din Torah. These are people who are psulim, all things being equal. So, how can you do that? And when does it bind? Right, so the Gemara, Yossi, Gemara has a discussion. It's not fair of me, really, if you didn't see it before, but no one saw this Gemara ever? No? Okay. So, Josh never learned Sanhedrin? What?
I fully with you.
So we did it. We talked about it.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, so I can go ahead.
I still haven't taken my Vatina for anything, so I'm still working on that.
Okay. You getting there? So the Gemara has, you know, a possible distinction between Etain and Machol, no? Machologus Machol level Etain Lacha. Divakal Yachalaksabo. Well, Mechila might be a Kenyan, Mechila is more inherently serious, Etain is in the future, but as we'll soon see, right, Etain, the status of Etain in general is a Kenyan Dvarim Bialma type issue. Rabbi Yochanan says, Etain machlokes, Abba b'machol d'vrei hakol, or Odilma b'imzu b'zein b'imzu machlokes. Okay, good. Machlokes b'Etain, b'machol, everybody says, en yachalach serbo, fine. In the end, the Gemara says, how does it go in the end? This is Omer Aleph, right?
Yeah.
I think we need Chav Dalet Omer Beis.
Yeah.
Is that Chav Dalet Omer Beis?
Yeah.
The Gemara's conclusion, that's Ein Lachar Kinyan Klum. The Gemara says,
yeah,
go ahead. Shalach Lumbei Rav Lishmuel, right, Pesura, Pumpadisa, very exciting, right? Shalach Lumbei Rav Lishmuel, Yilamdein Rabbeinu, Lifnei Gemar Din, the Kanamiya Domai. Right, either it's Eten Amachol, or it's Lifnei Lachar Gemar Din, right? Says the Gemara, Shalchalu Ein Lachar Kinyan Klo. Okay, so this is again, this became the Ravan and others, like everybody. Not everybody. A lot of a lot of the mafarshim zeroed in them. This is what you know. What is this? It's kinyan devarim because it's etain, or if machol doesn't work in its own right, it's machol. Right? Where's the real kinyan? Okay. So again, different things are said about shibudim and other things. But once again, like the Shomakinam and Shaul Gemara, right, there's something else to consider here. And that is, Josh,
right,
even if you didn't do Chazara in this part, but...
Yeah.
Right. What's the issue?
How we perceive their designation. I think there's like a rhyme on this. How we perceive their designation of Dayanim.
Yeah, I mean, when the whole kibbol lai is a fascinating. Kibbol lai, like Matzah Shomachim Yoska Shoel, is bucking the system. It's, you know, we're reconfiguring our own we're creating our own personal chosha mishpat basically. And Torah says you need, you know, gimel dayanim and shnayim edim, and they need to be ksherim. They can't be krovim and they can't be psulim, and you can't skip out on the numbers. So the Bali Dinim agree, you know, about Abba Navicha or Gimel Roy Bakar or and all of a sudden it all works. And that's what Gemara is trying to figure out. What about Etain? What about Macho? What about Lifnei Gemar Din? What about Laka Gemar Din? With a Kenyan, without a Kenyan, right? So you can totally understand why, you know, this is also a potential Kenyan Dvarim case. But like the Shomer Chinam case, right, there's also a big, big question hovering in the background. And that is what really is happening here. One way to look at it is this is pure as kaibus. Meaning, you know, there's no, it's a simulation. If we go to court and, you know, and we have like a mock trial, you know, and we pretend that it's a regular Din Torah, I don't mean really pretend, but as we treat it like seriously, but what we're saying is, listen, you know, normally, you know, Judge A and Judge B, or, you know, or one of them, or both of them, are really not qualified LP Din. Okay? But we're going to have like a mock trial with them anyway, and whatever they say, we're going to do. That's how we're going to disperse, you know, with this situation. Okay? That's going to be the remedy. It's a Dine Mamonis remedy. It's a Schaibus. Right? Then the question is, you know, so can you be mischayev b'mamon, you know, by in this way? Are you being mischayev b'mamon? Are you being mishabed your mamon? Is it a shibra guf? Like, what is it? However, there's another perspective on kibbola. Like, some of the Rishonim already, you know, the... What's that?
Yeah, like only certain types of people.
Oh, two things. Excellent. Number one, there are possible limitations. Like the Rishonim discuss, already in the Gemara, there are some havamimas about this. What we call either chadal reyusa or tartal reyusa. Let's say that, you know, nemanalai abba, you know, lios, you know, dayan echad, and that's it. You know, so he's a pasul, right? And you don't have the right numbers. Or he's, you know, abba who's a roe bakar, he's a karov and a pasul and a one called klasal reyusa. Doesn't matter how many reyuses there are. Right, so discussion a little in the Gemara and a huge discussion, the halacha, in the Rishonim and in the poskim. So if it's all pure hischaibus, they can still say asmachta. You know, there are things that they say, right? But it's very, very difficult to explain, to rationalize why we care about the number of reyuses. Frankly, I mean, what do we care? It's all a mock trial. It's all a simulation. It's all a way of creating ischaibus bubble. Right? So it's not more or less, you know. On the other hand, the alternative to all this is that when it comes to Dine Mamonis, right, even a Din Torah can be reconfigured. There are Rishonim who quote here the Tshuvas HaRashba, Tshuvas HaRavya, I think the Perush of the Rial Madri, if memory serves correctly, on Sanhedrin and Mizdapin. They quote, when they talk about Kibbol Lai, Masna Masha Kosa B'Torah B'Tanai Dover Shebimo. So the Pashtos, that's not correct. That's not what this is. It's as Chayvos. Unless you think Masa Masha Kosa B'Torah B'Tanai Dover Shemamon is always a Schaibus, which some people think. But even then, why just say that? Why don't you just say it's a Schaibus? If Masa Masha Kosa B'Torah B'Tanai Dover Shemamon means that according to Rabbi Yehuda and Dine Mamonis, we can reconfigure, there's a certain flexibility, and we can create our own, you know, judicial system, or our own, you know, mechanisms, if that's what it means, right, then quoting or invoking that line in Kibbul Alai is like an incredibly powerful idea. What you're saying is, I'm being machshir. If the Bali Dinim agree, they could be machshir, you know, a dayan puzzle to make him kosher for this Kibbul Alai Beis Din. So you can imagine, again, if you take that, that it's much, much easier to explain the Chadal Reyusa, Tarfal Reyusa, Tlosal Reyusa, meaning, you know, maybe there are limits in what you can be machshir. You know, at least if you have the right number, you don't have to be ksherim. If they're ksherim, you don't need the right number. You know, how much of a transformation can you make? That's number one. And you can also imagine it that in the Rishonim, and especially in the Poskim, in Chosha Mishpah, there are all sorts of issues, you know, about do you plug in the regular dinim of a bezin, of dayanim, of edim, you know, within the context of this Kibbul Alai or not. Because the more it's a simulation and it's a skybus, you'd only do that on a skybus level. Say, oh, the mock trial where, you know, Mikzah's taking it seriously, so whatever you do comes through the simulation. Maybe. But of course, if what we're really, really saying is that, you know, if the Bali Dinim agree, this flexibility to rewrite, meaning that the Dine Torah, when it comes to these standards, are to protect the system and to protect each side. But if both sides, you know, want to kind of, you know, create an alternative system, then that's acceptable. But still, that doesn't mean, you know, everything, you know, is out the window. So, you know, maybe like, you know, what about Sheker, and what about, you know, Kavod HaDayanim, and, you know, Kilas HaDayanim, and all sorts of really, you know, interesting things. And is there an assumption, just because you're doing this, that there are other procedural things, you know, that you do need or don't need, things that are connected to Gavra, an objective Gavra Dayan, or an objective Gavra aid, you're never going to apply. But things that have to do with actually functioning in a case as a Gavra Dayan or a Gavra aid, I hope everybody's with me, those things may very well apply. But they're not going to apply unless they're part of the Ischaibus, if it's a pure simulation and an outcome. Ah. So, having said that, like, this is a big, big topic. So, yeah. So, you know, is it Kenyan Dvarim B'Alma? You know, if it's about, you know, how much you're going to pay out, you know, when the simulation says you're Chayiv and you're Potter and whatever, then it has to fit into that type of Kenyan Dvarim B'Alma issue. Shiva Aguf, Shiva Chasim, etc. If it's really about, you know, Kanim Yado or other things, ability, right, to create an alternative Shem Dayan or Shem Aid, you know, then it's like we were saying about Shema Kinnim B'Shoel. That's a very interesting, it's not about transferring money, it's about creating a different status. Is creating a different status Kinnim Dvarim? Right, you can't do a Mashicha on it, right? But if you're not looking at, you know, moving around money or ownership, but you're not, is that more than an intent or a promise? You know, even more than a commitment, it's a change in status. Maybe you can do that for Kanim Yadav. Yeah.
Yeah, just back to the Rashba for a second.
Yeah.
Can we really make anything out of the Rashba before he goes what was decided? Just how we said, like, a line of, like, Imogov. So, isn't
Chaluk Imogov? Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't he just think that at that point, you're actually doing the Chaluk and then...
No, I thought he's saying... No, I mean, the whole point is that you're not doing the actual chalukah. You're just committing to do the chalukah. This is not when the Gemara says, you know, they were Kona Baruchos. This is before the Kona Baruchos.
Right, I'm saying, is it possible that even before the Baruchos, it could be that even trying to do the chalukah itself is still ambiguous because you're trying to determine which sides, in which case you're just trying to do a very, like, amorphous chalukah.
Right, but I'm saying he isn't saying it's an aim. He's saying, all I'm saying is that he's emphasizing the absence of a concrete chefza. Instead of just saying, well, this isn't a davar nitan lakinya. Maybe that's what he means, but that's not what he says.
Right, so
he says, chaluka ain laguf.
Right, so I'm saying, but that might have nothing to do with a pisaron and a commitment. It might just have to do with a pisaron and trying to actually do the chaluka itself. Because there are no.
I don't think the problem is the commitment in that Rajba. I think what he's saying is that for a kinyan, you need a chefza. And there's no guf here. I think he's being like very, you know, pragmatic. I don't think he's saying, oh, this is a fine line, it's an intention but not a commitment. I think he thinks a intention, commitment, none of it works. In order to be kona something or makna something, there needs to be a chepetz, a nikna, a guf. That's what I think.
I'm just saying that could be maybe room only once you're actually trying to do the kinyan itself. It could be that he reads the Gemara the whole time, that he's doing an actual kinyan and an actual chalukah. He doesn't think that the Gemara is referring to commitment.
Oh, you mean you think? You think that the Rajba is thinking that the reason this is kinyan Dvarim Bialma is because he's trying to make a kinyan, but he's doing it in a way, you know, which is so amorphous that it's meaningless, as opposed to it is a commitment or a promise or an intention, you know, but not an actual kinya. Oh. And why do you think that? I mean, does that fit in? I thought he was quoting Rashi approvingly before.
Is that, why would you emphasize that Kaluka Ingo good? Just say that.
I thought because he's still saying that the bigger idea is that, you know, I think what he's saying is if you know, you might have, you know, a kinyan for Dvarim, if the Dvarim was concrete. But this Dvarim is just, you know, an agreement.
Right, and it's just a weird irony that Haluka happens to be very amorphous.
Right, but the weird irony is part of the problem. That's what I keep trying to explain. In other words, in Shas, right, the only time something is ever called a Kinyan Dvarim, you know, is this. That doesn't mean it's the only in the system, because that's not true. I mean, all the cases in the... Well, why are a lot of these cases coming from Tshuvas? You know? Because there are things that came up. Is it Kinyan Dvarim if I promise that I'm going to make you my Moel? You know, and all those kind of cases, right? And we'll see some other cases, concrete cases in the Gemara also, where the Rishonim are struggling with it. You know, but the only one where this principle gets articulated, you know, that kinyan dvarim bialma, you know, doesn't work, is here. So that's what I was saying before. It's hard because there's so many things about this case. You're just adding another one, which I wasn't really focusing on. You're saying, in addition to everything else here, let's assume that people really wanted to make the kinyan right then and there. I don't know if that's a pshat, simple pshat in the Gemara, is it? Why do you see that in the Rajba more? Meaning, when the Gemara says that they this line, and the Gemara says, "Oh, they made a kinyan suder," you're saying it means they tried to do the chaluka, and then the Gemara is saying, but since it wasn't specific enough, it just falls flat. I don't think that's a pshat of the Gemara. I thought the pashtus is they're not trying to be kona; they're just trying to commit that they're going to be. In fact, they're not trying to be cholek; they're trying to commit that they're going to be cholek. And the Gemara is saying that's a dvarim, and then the Gemara is saying now why? Because it's future oriented, because it's dibor and not guf, because, you know, you can't, you know, substitute a meshicha for it. It could be many reasons. I just hear what you're saying. I didn't think of it that way. You're saying, no, even if the guy, they actually, maybe the case here is they tried to do a chaluka, you know, but they did so in a completely ambiguous or incompetent way. And maybe that's kinyan dvar. But if they had, you know, tried to be, you know, it was like, you're saying it's like a tafasta meruba lo tafasta. They tried to actually divide up the property here, but since they weren't specific, it all fell on its face. Had they just tried to commit that they're going to break up the property, that wouldn't have been kin. But is that really true? So why do you need to answer the Gemara that there were Kona Baruchos?
Because otherwise...
Why not just say they're not trying to do it now, they're trying to commit that they're going to do it?
It could be for the Rashba that commitment wouldn't be finding. Well, I don't understand why that's...
I'm just saying, even in the Gemara, how do you fit that in the Gemara? Why does the Gemara need to say there were Kona Baruchos? Why not to say they weren't Kona Baruchos, but it's a strength, not a weakness, that they were committing to a future Kenyan, not to trying incompetently to do it all in the absence of specificity right now? I mean, I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying I don't think it fits in the Gemara for that reason.
Would that really be a better answer than saying Ruchos? Saying Ruchos is definitive Kenyan. You don't have the same thing about commitment.
I'm saying Ruchos can be interpreted in one of two ways, as we have. Right? One way is they're making the real Kenyan, and very specifically too. Right? And the other one is, you know, if they pin down the Ruchos, even if they're not making the Kenyan, that would be okay. Right? But what I'm saying is that let's say they were not code, they weren't even trying to pin down the Ruchos. I mean, you seem to be suggesting that if there was an agreement to split up the partnership in a way to be determined, meaning without Ruchos, right? And not, it would be, you know, future, you know, awaiting another Kenyan, an intermediate step, in other words, and a vague intermediate. Even on the level of agreement, it would remain vague or ambiguous. You're suggesting, you know, that would not be Kenyan Dvar Miyam. That's sensational, what you're saying. I just think it's then problematic in the continuation of Gemara. So what do you need to say, Kona Baruchos? Just say that they agreed that they'll split up the partnership. They're not trying to do it now. Right? But I hear what you're saying. I think it's true that if people tried to make a Kenyan and they didn't have the wherewithal to do it, you know, that it would fall on its face. I just don't know whether I'd call that Kenyan Dvarim. I would say Kenyan Sheino Katsu or something like that. Okay. Good. So, sorry, taking too long. But let's go to the next case. So, what is the next case? So, you have a bunch of other cases, right? Let's just go through a few of them. Kuf Mem Amud Beis. Okay, what is Kuf Mem Amud Beis? Oh, no, let's discuss the Ksuba case quickly. Okay, the Ksuba case. Right, so the Ksuba case is an issue of the Rishonim, right? It's a Kinyan Dvarim Bialma, or Kinyan B'davar Shalom Baliola, or Shibud B'davar Shalom Baliola. Shibud B'davar Shalom Baliola is usually okay. But, okay, that's a Gemara actually later on in Bava Basra. Right? Kuf Nun Zion? I don't know. Something like that. There's a principle of De'ekni, right, that is referred to obliquely in Sugin Cheskes Abatim and explicitly, again, in the towards the end of the Masechta, like Kuf Nun Zayin or so. If you ever listen to the, you know, to a shtar, you know, or Ksuva when it's read, you know, the Kanayu the Osid Ana, you know, the Mikta, that's called the Ekni. That's a person, a very interesting idea. You know, you're Meshabed yourself, you know, based on the property that you presently own, I mean, that's in your possession. You mortgage that property, even though you are makna, you know, or it's omeid lekinyan, whatever you want to call it, or shibud, or l'arvis, whatever you want to call it, you know, nichsi debarnish inu nachroin barvoin zelazeh. So the property is leaned, L-I-E-N-E-D, or mortgaged, to some sort of payment, some sort of obligation. You know, if property, you know, if you engage in certain kind of transaction, that's what shibudim is, right? Hopefully we'll speak more about it. So, you know, whatever property you own kind of, you know, backs up or guarantees. You know, that's what I mean. Nichsi debar inish, inun, achroin, varboin, zelazet. Person's property serves as a kind of an arev, a guarantor, you know, to fulfill his commitments. That's a very important principle. That's the principle of Shibudin. Whether Shibudin d'oraisa or not, whatever, but that's what that is. However, let's say what about property that you acquire after the time of the transaction or the ischaibus? Right? So it didn't cover, you know, the transaction because you didn't own it then. It was a davar shel bali olam. So that's a discussion in the Gemara. Anybody have that line in the Gemara later on? Is it Kufna Zayin or not? That's the sugya for it. Yeah, it is Kufna Zayin. Here. Amavas chaver b'shtar govin b'chasim shibadim ayde edim govin b'chasim deicharim boi Shmuel, right? De ekni v'kana mao. Let's say he says nechasim, you know, that I will acquire in the future. Alim v'rab meir damar ana makdav shal bali olam lo tibay lach levadai kana leketibay alim v'rabanan the amri ena de makna davar shal bali olam. Then back and forth, yes and no, kafi the maglim bedal kaspe, right? De ekni kanu machar, de ekni kanu behorish mai. Very, very exciting issues. Okay, so we paskin that de ekni works. And as the Gemara explains, I think here on Amud Beis, imtin tzolomba de ekni kanu machar, de ekni kanu behorish. So I think at one point the Gemara says, yeah, even though ena da makne davar shelo bali olam, if you hold not like Rabbi Meir, right, adam mishabe davar shelo bali olam. A very important idea. Oh, that's called ekni. So the point is that, but how do you initiate the ischaibus to begin with? That's a question that Tosis is discussing in Ksuvos. Is it enough to say that the ekni works, and therefore, even if you don't have in your possession, you know, the wherewithal to pay, in other words, to cover the original ischaibus, it's still fine? Or no, the ekni only means, you know, that if you do, let's say you have not even the chasim shvada. Let's say you have you know, cash on hand. You have the chasim b'nei chori, as we call it, right? So, whatever it is, you made $1 million commitment, and you have $1 million. Let's say you have $1 million, not just in Chasim Mishubadim, but in half in Chasim Mishubadim and half in Bnei Chori, whatever it is. That doesn't seem to be a problem for the Bali Tosis, because your Shibud is, you could be Mishabed your property, you know, to this is Chayimus. Interesting. But let's say you only have, you know, $500,000, you know, in your possession. So how can you make a commitment for $1 million? That's what Bavin Tos. Yeah, but Aaron, go ahead with the question again. Meaning, even if that property is gone for some reason. But that's what the ekni is. The ekni says, Adam eno makne davar shelo bali olam, but Adam mishabe davar shelo bali olam. Okay. But if you never had it to begin with, does that also help you, the ekni? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, also, she'in lo
ve'ach
ishtabe nechazav she'ikne achari kein
kevan shelo nishayiv lo ayin davar shelo bali olam. All right. Meaning of yechiyuv, and then there's a question of how you're going to implement the chiyuv. So there's shibud b'davar shelo bali olam. But the chiyuv doesn't get off to begin with because it's kinyan dvar bialma, basically, right? Keep going.
Yeah.
And this is what you read before, correct?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, meaning the ekni will work even if you don't have the equivalent amount now. You could still be meshabed in the future. How do you do that? Because it goes through the shibud aguf, in a way. Right? Okay. So in general, there are two ways to understand the ekni, I would say. It could be it's a debate between the Ramban and the Rajba. If I remember correctly, the Ramban, I think, is in Kask Sabatim, and I think the Rajba is in Kufnu and Zion, in Baal Basra, in that parak, at Pashut. No, I'm sorry, in Shchid Meira. So, can you be chozer from a de'ekni? Let's say, that's before you acquire the property. Right? That's one question. And another question, is a question of formulation. Like the Meiri, if I remember correctly, always formulates Dakini as, oh, Meshabe Dover Shalom Baliyom. That's what he always emphasizes. Okay? You could probably Meshabe Dover Shalom Baliyom, but you could probably be, you could be Choser. Do it, as long as you didn't acquire the property yet. Once you acquire it, you can. But, you committed and then you didn't buy the property yet, you could be Choser. Why not? So, just like in Machna Dabu Shalom Bali Olam, according to Rabbi Levi. So, what would be the view that you're not Choser? So I think, typically, the way that this is explained is that De'ekni, instead of seeing it as, literally, Adam Meshabe Dabar Shalom Bali Olam, is that De'ekni reflects, that all things being equal, there's something called a shibud aguf, in addition to shibud nechasim, and your personal commitment or indebtedness, let's say, is is kind of transfers to the if you so choose to the property that you acquire, even after that state. In other words, the davar, it's not really adav b'shabe davar shalom bali olam, it's that the shibud aguf vis-a-vis, property that you will subsequently, acquire, right, is considered a davar shabali olam. Okay. And if that's the case, for example, you would never be able to be chozer because the shibud aguf is in the present, right? Then the shabe davar shabali olam is in the future, so you can always be chozer, just like most views of the mandam are adam makna davar shalom bali olam, is that you can be chozer. Right? If you hold ain in the makna davar shalom bali olam, even if you're not chozer, it just doesn't work. If you hold adam makna davar shalom bali olam, you can still be chozer, just that if you're not chozer, and then it's bali olam, and the kinyan is chal. So the same thing should be true with the shibud. You can still be makal. I'm not dismissing that, but so why am I telling you this? That's what Tosa says there, right, Aaron? That it's Novea from the Shibud Aguf. You know, does he have a line like that? He's not discussing all these nafkaminas, but... Yeah. So, if you ask me again, and that's kind of what Tosa is referring to here, when he talks about the Shomer Chinam case. So, once again, in the end of the day, what are we talking about? And I think that there are, again, these two paradigms. One is that this is about dollars and cents and money and payment, making available payment, meaning being makne, the piron of this ischaibus. And that's the question. So is it kinyan dvarim? Is it, I will pay back? I commit to something that's going to happen in the future, and all I'm doing right now with the kinyan is a commitment, right, or a promise, even less than a commitment, I'm saying. Okay, but if the idea is that you can be meshabed, ladav or shalom bali olam, as long as, there's a shibud aguf, you know, then it isn't Kinyan Dvar Mi'alma. It's still a way of designating, you know, a whatever you want to call it, Arvus or Miktsas Kinyan, right, which is corresponds to a certain, your Makna, this person, through your Shibin HaGuf, you know, or in some cases, Shibin HaChasim, etc. But maybe you can't do that. Maybe, especially if you take the other perspective, you know, it's really a Shibin HaGuf is a Shibin HaGuf. And it doesn't really translate into Kinyan and the property, or even the property that you will in the future acquire. I mean, it does, but it only does because, you know, there's a certain Shibin HaGuf, this is what I was, you know, referring to before. Like, how obvious is it that there's something called Shibin HaGuf when there's no Shibin HaChasid? You know? So there is, like, in certain things, like we have a rule, you know, the Din of Shmuel. Tani, what's the Din of Shmuel? Exactly. So what is it? Mocher Shtar Chov L'Chaveiro. Right? What happens then? Chazer Machlo. And the question is, what's the psak? Machlo. So the question is, like, in addition to being, you know, obviously a nasty thing to do, which is why it's a garmi issue, right? Almost like Sorif Shtarosov Shal Chaveiro, right? But actually, here it's a little more like the Eved Apotiki question. We talk about the Rambam, the Raivin, and the Chovel. So the question is, like, how can you do that? Right? How can you sell somebody the right to collect? In other words, what happened? Reuven owes money to Shimon. Shimon has a right to collect money from Reuven. Then Shimon sells that right of collection to Levi. Now Levi has the right to collect. The question is, why is that true anyway? But okay. Osio 6 Mesira, what exactly, you know, why does that work? Anyway, Mechiras, it's called Mechiras Chovos. So if Mechiras Chovos are Chal, then how can there be Mechila? I'm not saying, like, how could he do it? That's a moral and, you know, an economic question. I'm saying, like, how does it work? So many Rishonim, the majority of Rishonim, including the Rambam, many views of Bali Tosfos, is that Mechiras Chovos is only Drabbanan. And that Minat Torah, nothing happens. However, the famous view of the Rabbeinu Tam, which doesn't appear in Bali Tosfos, but is quoted by the Rosh and many others, is that there is basically two aspects to every debt situation. Okay. One is Shibin HaGuf, and the other is Shibin Nechasim. What they're saying is you can sell the Shibin Nechasim. That's what Mechiras Chovos is. The Shibin HaGuf is a highly personal, non-transferable thing. It's, as the Rav would say, it's Noveya from the Matan Mos. It was triggered, you know, by the quid pro quo, or the original Eschaibus, whatever you want to call it. So it's very personal. You can't transfer Shibin HaGuf. Ah. And let's say, you know, let's say there is no Shibin HaGuf. Or let's say you're Mochel is Shibin HaGuf. So then there's no Shibin HaChasim. So what happens? Shimon sold Levi, we're going to stop in a minute, Shimon sold to Levi, right, the right to collect. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, what he really, really sold was the Shibin HaChasim. But the Shibin HaGuf is non-transferable because it's personal, right? That remains with Shimon. So when Shimon turns around and he's Mochel, right? He's not Mochel the Shibin HaChasim, but by being Mochel the Shibin HaGuf, the Shibin HaChasim are Paka. So that's a Din D'oraisa. Again, he has to live with the Garmi, you know, and the ethical, you know, consequences. You know, but that's what's going on according to Rabbeinu Tam. The Raivan has a different take, also sees it as Doraisa, not for now. Oh. So why am I telling you this? This is an interesting question. In other words, there's something called the Shibin HaGuf. Of course, the question that all the Achronim deal with, and a couple of the Rishonim, this is a huge massive discussion in Shulchan Aruch, Chol Shemish, Batzim, and Samach Vav, So why? What happens in every Yerusha case? Right? Shimon again lent money to Reuven as a right to collect, and then Shimon dies. So is Yorshim, are Yoresh the right to collect? Question is why, according to our Beinu Tam. And this is the Tumim's question. But really, Rishonim asked it already. The Rad, basically, in Akosev, in Ksuvas, asked this question. Right? After all, the actual recipient, the actual author of the Shibud Aguf is no longer alive. Right? So there shouldn't be Shibud Nechasim either. There should be no Gniyah. So this is a whole discussion. Sos and others. Some people say, no, that's not how Yerusha works. In the case of Yerusha, you move up into the, you're kum takas aviv, or maybe it depends on which type of Yerusha. So you do actually, you're b'makom aviv, b'makom amorish, so there is a shibud aguf. The Ran, I don't think he says that. I think what the Ran means is simply, if you're mochel the shibud aguf, then the shibud nechasim are paka. If the author or the source of the Shibud Aguf is dead, he's no longer a factor, but there's no Mechila, there's still Shibud Nechasim. Okay. Anyways, why am I telling you all this? This is a really big deal. In other words, what is Shibud Aguf? How do you look at Shibud Aguf? You look at Shibud Aguf as simply the mechanism to kind of trigger, Meshabe Davar Shelo Baliolo. Maybe the Shibud Aguf, and that some of the issues that I'm talking about revolve around this question, is also a chalos. It's a kinyan of some sort, or status. In which case, maybe the reason that there's no kinyan devarim is not because, through the Shibud Aguf and the Shibud Davar Shalom Bali Olam, so you have all this, karka, future karka, which is designated, for the practical, tashlumim. Maybe really what's going on is it's not a kinyan devarim because you acquire a shibud aguf. In the same way that like the shomer chinam, assumes a different status, or that the dayan and the aid assume a different status, right? In Ksuva in particular, this is a really interesting issue, because part of the story with the Ksuva, Ksuva lo nitna ligavo smichayim. Right? So, in addition to everything else, not just, does he have enough property to cover his ischaivus, but the whole ischaivus of a Ksuva, to begin with, is future-oriented. Because Ksuva lo nitna ligavo smichayim. So they say in the name of Reb Chaim in the stencils in the Kiddush Agra, what is that? Oh, the Ksuva is like a special din. It's like a chiyuv to be mischayev. that's what a Ksuva is. Like, is Ksuva in the future or Ksuva is in the present? So that's what they say in the name of Reb Chaim. It's a chiyuv to be mischayev. It really borders, frankly, on Kinyan Dvarim. Like, what does that mean? I don't think he means, a chiyuv that he will be mischayev. I think he means that's kind of the status. It's not a chiyuv in the present, but it's a chiyuv in the present, legabe, the future. Sounds like semantics. But what does it really, really, really mean? Oh. So I think this goes back to, something we've probably spoken about other times, and that is the role of the ksuva. And ishas can be looked at again in two very different ways. Right? One way is very future oriented. It's shalote kalabein of lohotzia, and it's intended, especially if it's drabana, to prevent people from doing something rash. And it's all about the future, a protection if needed. In the future, in terms of Misa or Gerushin, etc. However, there's a lot of evidence that Ksuba, you know, is already kind of a chalos at the time of the Ishus itself. And, you know, Safek Ksuba, there's a sugya in Ksuba Saf Yud, discussion of the Ramban and the Ran, is it like any Odeim Praticha or any Odeim Miskayavti? Now, before the Gedeon. And especially if you take the view, which I'm very partial to, that according to many Rishonim, the Ksuva is a Kiyum in the Ishus. Right? It establishes that the Ishus itself, you know, is on a certain Lisa Isha Biksuva Bikidush. I'm not going to go into the whole thing now, that's a different story. But if I always point out that the minhag of Klal Yisrael to read a Ksuva at a wedding is explained by Rashi and a Tshuva as being based on like creating a hefsek between the Erison and the Nesuin. However, I think alternatively, or to explain like, you know, but why pick that of all things? And to explain like, isn't it a little bit of a discordant, you know, note to speak about, you know, terrible, you know, extenuating circumstances of the future in the middle of a wedding. But I think the idea is that the ksuva, right, is a critical component in the security and therefore in the kedusha of the ishus. Okay, why am I telling you all this? What I'm trying to explain is that the shibur aguf, or the notwithstanding ksuva lanitna legavas mechayim, there are a lot of indications that the ksuva is already a relevant factor in the present. And therefore, it's not kinyan dvarim. Maybe that's the pshat. It's, you know, it's not dollars and cents present. That's in the future. Right? But the commitment to a ksuva is a commitment to a certain quality of its enhancement of the ishus. And therefore, it's not kinyan dvarim. Okay, we're going to have to stop here. A couple more cases to pick up with. Etain, you know, Shkiv Mera, or if it's talking about Shkiv Mera, you know, when a person tries to give Matanos, Sadai, Nesunalach, and the case on Reishvav, those are the cases that I gave you to look at. Minei Avodah Zarah, Gittin, Vav Basra, any others I gave you? Reishvav, which is connected to that. Any others? So we'll continue with that when we... And then I want to move back to Kinyan Sudar a little bit more to fill in, and also Chalukas Shudfas. Yeah. Are people around Sunday? I think not. I think most people are away. Let me know how many people are around. And then we'll figure it out from there. Because a lot of people go away for the weekend.